Well, greetings in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord for the heat of the battle. We're soldiers of the cross of Jesus Christ. What else can we expect? Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Rick, for your prayer this morning. My spirit was just lifted up with all that took place in the building here. And bless the Lord. Let's stand for another word of prayer here before we begin. Father, we do rejoice in you this morning. We praise you and thank you, God. Thank you, Father, that you have entrusted us with the gospel of Jesus Christ to go into the territories of Satan and bring destruction to his kingdom. We thank you for this purpose was the Son of God manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. And we just give you praise this morning and thanksgiving, Lord, that you have entrusted us to be a part of that work, Lord, and of building your kingdom on the face of the earth. So, Father, we pray this morning. Oh, God, we ask you to bless this part of the service. We pray, Lord, I pray that you would anoint my lips and my heart with a fresh coal from off the altar. And give me grace, Lord, to be able to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. Father, I pray that you would impart your very heartbeat to us this morning. Bless us, we pray, with your eternal purposes. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. I was just pondering as we were singing this morning. I was thinking of a time years ago as a young person. We were having a prayer meeting over at the church there at Charity. And we were having a prayer meeting for the community, more specifically for the Amish. And I think it was an evening that Brother Denny had brought in a tape on the Hebrides Revival. And we were having blessed, anointed prayer meetings. They were anointed. God was moving. We could tell in our meetings. And all of a sudden, there's some stones began to fly, come through the windows of the building there. As we were praying, as we were listening, I think, to that tape. And again, I'm reminded this morning, you know, that the devil gets upset. And he's not happy when God's kingdom is being advanced and built. So those were the early, and I remember leading that prayer meeting, and that was probably the first recollections in my mind of acquiring a vision for the lost and the heart cry of the lost, those around us, whether it's in our communities or whether it's the foreign fields of Africa and other countries across the world. Okay, the title of the message this morning, as you may have seen in your pamphlets, is The Cry of the Missionary. The Cry of the Missionary. As a young person, I went on two teams over to Africa. And after my wife and I were married, my wife and I went to the town of Wawasi where the Cowans are staying. We were there for 3 months there, ministering in that mission, in that station. As I was there, God began to create in me a vision and a burden for the lost. A heart cry began to rise up in my heart as I was there on those two teams and seeing the needs of the people around me and saw the openness of the gospel. You know, I remember those days. We used to throw out gospel tracts from the lorry, they called the vehicle over there, and we'd go through the towns and villages, and I was just amazed as a young person. You know, the young people and the children were just, you know, they would scramble and they were falling over top of each other to grab these tracks. And I was just amazed at, as a young person, at the hunger and thirst for righteousness and for the gospel of Jesus Christ. So those were the early beginnings of a heart cry in me in regards to missions and the lost people groups of the world. In 1998, my wife and I went to Ghana, went to north to the Dagumba tribe. We were ministering there for probably about 3 years. And God further deepened that burden and heart cry in me for missions and for the lost people groups of the world. And we were there for 3 years and we came back home, and that heart cry has never left me. That heart cry has never left me for the lost, for that tribe in particular up north there, the Dagumbas, where we were ministering at. So this morning, I know in part what the heart cry of a missionary is all about. And I'd like to just go down through this message. I have 4 points I'd like to bring out this morning. I'd like us to take a good, hard, deep look into a missionary's heart and hear his cry. Isaiah got real close to the heart of God and heard him say, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" Then said I, "Here am I, send me." That's my heart this morning. You know, those who have been sent, those who have gone forth, I'd like us to hear the heart cry of a missionary on the field as he's there ministering to a given people group or to a given tribe. The cry of the missionary. Let's turn our Bibles to Romans 9. Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9, verse 1 through 5. "I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continuous sorrow in my heart, that I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law, and the service of God and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom is, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God bless forever. Amen." And okay, let's turn our Bibles furthermore to chapter 10. I'll just read one verse there. "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." You know, the heart cry of a missionary as he looks over the needs of the people. He sees their needs. He sees there that they're in a place, that the heathen are in a place of darkness. Like we already heard this week, they're in a place where they don't see the light of the gospel yet, and they're sold under sin. They're yet in their sins, and the missionary sees these needs among the people. And a heart cry begins to rise up. And even as Paul says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." And he had such a burden for the lost. Verse 2, like I read already in Romans 9, "I have continual sorrow and great heaviness in my heart." That was Paul's testimony. He had a heart for his own people. He had continual sorrow and great heaviness of heart as he seen the condition of his own people. And that's the heart cry of a missionary as they see the condition of the people that they're working with, as they see the needs, a heart cry begins to rise up out of their heart. "Oh God, how..." And they begin to pray, "Lord, save this people. I pray for the salvation of this people group." They begin to get that burden deep down in their hearts. The love of Christ begins to constrain them. And let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 14 through 19. "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Like I said, the missionary realizes as he's working with this people group, as he's working with this tribe, he realizes that these people are all sold under sin. That if one died, Christ, then we're all dead. And the love of Christ begins to constrain him. The love of Christ begins to constrain his heart. His bowels begin to move towards those people he's ministering to. He sees them sold under sin. He sees them in their sinful ways. He sees them being destroyed by the devil. He sees them many times when we were over in Africa, you know, there was these seizure cases that would come. And you could tell they were sold under, you know, they were under the demonic influence of the enemy. And that's the bowels of the missionary begin to yearn after his people that God has called him to minister to. Verse 16, it says, "Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more." And I like that verse, you know, the missionary begins to see people through the eyes of Christ. It brings out here that henceforth know we no man after the flesh. I believe the heart of God, the heart of Paul, what Paul is bringing out there is simply, I don't look at people anymore through the eyes of the flesh. I don't look at people and say, you know, this man, this woman is that a place of you know, hopelessness? This man, this woman has no purpose in life. But the missionary begins to look at people through the eyes of Christ, realizing their potential. Realizing that in Christ, they can become beautiful, a beautiful new creation in Christ Jesus. They begin to look at the people through those eyes, realizing their potential, realizing what they can be if only they experience the salvation in Jesus Christ. You know what? As I was over there laboring among the Dagumba people, you know, I often thought on those lines, how beautiful these people are. But unless they know Christ, unless they come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, they will end up dying in eternity in a lake of fire. And I began to look at them through those eyes, and I began to see that Christ yearns for their salvation. And that's a heart cry of a missionary. A missionary begins to go out, and the love of Christ constrains him to bring the gospel to the lost, to preach, to share, to minister, to build relationships, to seek to win the loss. He realizes, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. He realizes the potential that this man or woman can have if only they experience a living Savior. And his heart and his bowels move with compassion for the lost. A missionary realizes that this is my fellow man. Though his skin color may be different, he's made of flesh and blood, just like you and I. He has a soul, he has a spirit. I remember when we first went over to minister to the Dagumbas, what God used to plant a vision in my wife's heart. I remember as we were going up north, we were traveling on the lorry, and we met this old woman with her front teeth out, and Barb looked into the eyes of that old elderly woman. God gave her a vision and a burden for the Dagumba tribe, realizing what they can be in Christ Jesus. He sees them, the missionary sees them bowing down to their idols. He sees them bowing down five times a day to a prophet who's dead, and he thinks to himself, if only he knew Christ. If only she knew the living Savior. He looks at them in love. His heart cries out and he says to himself, I can't stand the thought of this one spending a Christless eternity in hell. I can no longer bear the thought of looking into those empty, hollow, fear-filled eyes. And the love of Christ continues to constrain him. The love of Christ continues to empower him. The love of Christ continues to draw him to the people group who God has sent him to minister to. Missionary may spend a few years just to learn the language of the people, because his heart is crying out for the people. His heart is crying out. He spends time in learning their language and relating to them. He spends time learning their culture. He endures malaria, sickness, hospital runs with their children, and all kinds of endurances, enable that this people and this tribe might be able to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. He endures. The love of Christ keeps constraining him. He sees their drunken stupor. He hears their hopeless wails that go up when one of their loved ones dies. He sees, he hears, he cries, and he presses on for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For his heart cry is constraining him to press on. His heart cry for the people. The love of Christ continues to constrain him, to thrust him and push him forward for the people and the tribe God has sent him to minister to. He longs for them to know the living Savior, that they might experience their sins forgiven. Oh, that they might know what a life in Christ is all about. A life that is full of purpose and lived out to glorify our Father for the rest of its days. This is the heart cry of the missionary. They long to see the people brought to Christ and live and a life fulfilled and live and the rest of its days lived out to glorify God and to fulfill His purposes for their lives here on the face of the earth. Okay, point number two. The cry of the missionary is that God would send forth laborers into His harvest. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 to the end of the chapter. It says here, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Like I said, this point number two is a cry of the missionaries that God would send forth laborers into his harvest. You know, he's there on the field laboring, and he looks among the needs. I still remember when there was a young girl that my wife and I ministered to. She was dumb, had seizures, multiple seizures in a day's time. And through prayer and fasting, she was delivered and healed. And the people came. They came with their seizure patients and blind people and all kinds of, they were bringing all kinds of people to our doorstep. And I just remember, you know, it's overwhelming. It's overwhelming sometimes as a missionary to realize the needs of the people, to recognize that the work is great, but I can only stretch myself so far. And I think that was the heart of Christ here. As he was here, as he beheld the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. You know, Jesus, he looked on those hills. I want to just paint a picture in our minds. You know, he's seen the multitudes. He's seen their needs. They kept bringing them. Demon-possessed people. People that needed to be healed. People that were lying in darkness, under the soul and under sin. And in the grip of the enemy. Jesus saw this. He realized that I can only stretch myself so far. And imagine, you know, just think of it. It says they were a sheep having no shepherd. Imagine in your mind what sheep are without a shepherd. You know, imagine a flock of sheep on a hillside. There they are. They're on a hillside without a shepherd. Here's one falling over a cliff and perishing. Here's another one caught in a thicket, only to be devoured by the wolf, by a wild animal. Here's another one that is being torn up by the beasts of the field. And Jesus, he looked at these multitudes, he seen that they were as sheep having no shepherd. A sheep wandering about on the hillside, just wandering about, lost, trying to find, not knowing the way back into the fold, only to be devoured, torn apart, made to fall over a cliff, caught in a thicket, unable to get itself loose. That's sheep without a shepherd. When they're on the hillside in that way, without a shepherd, that's their condition. They don't know the way back to the fold. And that's many times the where a missionary is at. They realize, they look at the needs of the people and it's overwhelming. The needs are overwhelming to their hearts. And their heart cry begins to go up to God and say, "Oh Lord, send forth laborers into your harvest. Send forth laborers." And like Brother Denny shared last night, the word labor means to eject, to bring forth, to cast out, to drive out, expel, thrust out, send away. This was the heart of Christ that His disciples, He said to His disciples, "Pray ye therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that He would send forth laborers into His harvest." And this is often the heart cry of a missionary. They look at their own tribe, they look at the people group that God has called them to minister to, And even their bowels begin to yearn for world missions. Oh, that God would send forth laborers into His harvest. They see the sheep on the hillside without a shepherd. They see them being torn apart. When I was there in Ghana, I still remember we were learning language. And they came to my doorstep one evening, a few men. And at that time, we were making some hospital runs at times, and they came and they asked if we could make a hospital run for a young man in the village there, a middle-aged man, I guess he was. And so we decided to take him down to a nearby hospital about an hour and a half away. And on the way down, I have never seen such a gruesome sight in my life. Just gruesome. The way that he was bleeding and just, I don't even want to go into details, but it was just a gruesome sight. And I learned later that he was a wealthy man in the village. He had acquired wealth, had built himself a nice house. He had put out many crops. And the saying went forth that he was cursed. And I can believe it. I honestly can believe that man was cursed the way he died. And when I was learning language, you know, at times I had to refrain myself in a sense to keep focused on the language. But the needs of the people can be overwhelming. And the heart cry of the missionary goes up, "Lord, send forth laborers into your harvest. Send forth laborers." Let's remember, Jesus said, "Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." You know, Jesus' heart is going out for those on the hillside that are being torn apart. Jesus' heart is going out to those. Christ's heart is going out to those who are wandering about, having no way, having no one to guide them back to the fold. No shepherd. No shepherd, brothers and sisters. And therefore, the heart cry of the missionary goes up and says, Lord, send forth laborers into your harvest. Realizing that they can only stretch themselves so far. He cries out to God to raise up laborers as he looks upon the multitudes. Multitudes, multitudes, brothers and sisters. Not just a few sheep on the hillside that are wandering about, but multitudes. Multitudes of sheep wandering about, unable to find their way to the fold. Unable to know the path to take to safety. So the heart cry of the missionary is that God would send forth laborers, eject them out, thrust them forth. Like I said, as a missionary works with people, he acquires a burden for the lost nations and peoples of the world. And again, he cries out, Lord, send forth laborers into your harvest. Remember the ticking of the clock, brothers and sisters? I don't know how many of you were here. I think 2 years ago, Ross had up here, I forget what you called that thing, but Metrodome, yeah. It was ticking as he was preaching, and I think it was about a soul every minute, every second. Okay. Soul every second is what Brother Emmanuel says. A soul who has not experienced the saving power of Christ is cast into hell every second. So let's remember the multitudes that are crying out. Multitudes of sheep that have no shepherd. No, none. None to guide them back to the fold. There is the heart cry of the missionary as he looks out across the needs of the people, of the multitudes, having no shepherd. Realizing one after the other. One after the other, they're being cast into the lake of fire. One after the other, they're at a place where they'll be spending a Christless eternity. And the heart cry of the missionary goes forth, Lord, send forth laborers into your harvest. Okay, let's turn our Bibles to Philippians chapter 1. I'd like to go to the next point here. Philippians chapter 1. I'll read verses 3 through 9. Paul says here, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Okay, I'd like to go to the next point here. Point number 3 is the cry of the missionary is for fellowship in the gospel with those back home. The cry of the missionary is for fellowship with the gospel with those back home, the sending church or the supporting church. Here was a church at Philippi who was supporting Paul and his work. This church was supporting, as I've gone through scripture, through the New Testament here, I don't think I've seen any church that supported the missionary, our brother the Apostle Paul, like the church of Philippi here. It may be, it may be the missionary's own church, or a church that especially has tied itself to his work. Or maybe a number of churches that are carrying the heart of God for his work. I've heard the missionaries' heart. You know, they pray much for their sending churches. I know they do. I've heard their heart. They pray for us. Here was Paul. Paul realized that the church of Philippi was fully, their heart was fully engaged in fellowshipping with Paul in the gospel that he was carrying forth. Their heart was fully engaged, and Paul says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. This church, their heart was fully engaged in supporting Paul, in ministering to him, in blessing him, and in being in fellowship with the gospel that Paul had been called unto. The missionaries realize this is their base that they're working off from. Jesus spoke much of doing the will of Him that sent me. You know, Jesus spoke much about doing the will of the Father that had sent Him. And also another principle that I'd like to just bring out is, Jesus said, He that is sent is not greater than Him that sent Him. And so the heart of what I'd like to bring out this morning is that the heart cry of the missionary is for his home congregation. Think about the soldiers in Iraq or some of these places they've been sent to. You know, if the home base would begin, they'd hear that the home base, they'd begin to hear that there's a turmoil back home. There's turmoil back in the home base. The soldiers are beginning to fight each other and there's not unity. And I'll get into some of those points as we go along here. The missionary realized that there's a base that they're working off from. The missionary's cry and heart is for and with those who have a heart for their work, who have sent them out. The home church that has sent them forth, or any other church that is supporting them. Let's take a look at Paul's heart here in verse 9. Of chapter 1 here in Philippians. Paul says, in this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. That ye may approve things that are excellent. That ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. Look at Paul's heart here in prayer for those who had a heart for the work God had called him to. His heart was behind them. He was praying for them. He had a heart cry for the church there at Philippi. He had a heart cry that they would, that there would continue to be growth in their church. He had a heart cry that they would be sound in the faith and continue to be fruitful in their own lives and in their congregation. So that's the heart cry of the missionary. The heart cry of the missionary is for the church back home. Like I said, I've heard their cry. I've heard their prayers. Their heart is very much with us. They cry for us. They pray for us. They pray for the home base, that it would remain sound in faith, that there would continue to be growth, and that we would be fruitful in our own lives as a congregation and as a sending church. They realize that, like Brother Denny shared last evening, they realize that the blood flows into them as part of the body, as the body is healthy back home. And so they pray for us. Their heart cries out for us, for those who have sent them. Okay, let's go on to chapter 1, verse, let's read verse 27 first. Verse 27, Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Then chapter 2, I'll read the first three verses. Therefore, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Missionary has concern for the church back home that there would be continued unity, that there would continue to be a unified effort in supporting them as a missionary, and also in furthering the cause of the gospel. They're jealous, just like Paul was here with the church at Philippi. Like I shared, this church of Philippi was a church that tremendously supported Paul in his ministry. They supported him. They prayed for him. Later on, we'll see some more things that they were supporting him in. So the missionary's heart for the home base is, oh Lord, keep the home base unified. Keep the home base like-minded. Keep the home base, keep the supporting church in a place where they're healthy. I know that I'm receiving vitality and health in my missionary endeavor because of the body back home, because of health and vitality there. And they realize they'll suffer if the body back home begins to, just like a military again. You know, think of it. If soldiers in Iraq and different places across the globe here, where there's U.S. soldiers, they would hear that there's turmoil back in America. Soldiers are beginning to shoot each other and wound each other and fight against each other, and there's division in the camp. Imagine what that would do. It would begin to weaken the army on the field. It would begin to weaken, to tear down their strength, their confidence. It would begin to eat away at the confidence that they have and the boldness that they have there on the field. So the missionaries pray for us. And this was Paul's prayer. Fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded. Fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded. Having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Philippians 1:27, I love this verse. Ye stand fast in one spirit. This again was being spoken to the church there at Philippi. That ye stand fast in one spirit and in one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Paul realized, you are my helpers. Okay, let's turn now to Philippians chapter 3. Verse 1 through 3, and then I'll read a few verses, 8 through 10, I think it is. Philippians chapter 3, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Then drop down to verse 7, yeah. For what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. Here we see Paul's heart coming forth that Christ would remain central in their lives as a church. That Christ, that they would not deviate from Christ. They would not deviate from loyalty to Christ. And again, that's the heart cry of the missionary is, Lord, keep Christ in the center of it all. They pray for us. That we would not be veered off into another loyalty of some kind or into a false doctrine or they pray for us that Christ would remain central in our lives, that the central theme of the gospel would continue to remain Christ and Him crucified. That's their heart's cry and prayer, that Christ would be exalted. And so Paul warns the church there, and he furthermore, his heart cry goes forth. We are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. You know, again, thinking of a military again, you know, suppose someone would hear on the field, you know, they're out there. And they would begin to hear that their loyalty is being turned to the mayor instead of the president. Yes, the mayor might have an important part to play in the country, but their loyalty is beginning to deviate. And they would wonder on the field, what's going on back home? What's going on back home? Their loyalty is deviating from the president, the one in charge of the army. So the missionary's heart cry is that Christ would remain central in their lives, in the life of those that are back home, in the supporting church. Oh, their heart cry, like I said, I've heard their heart cry. They pray for us. They intercede for us. They desire us to see us continue to march forward in one unit, as one unit. Unified together with them in the fellowship of the gospel. Just like the church here at Philippi. It says Paul thanked God for their fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. They were faithful in continuing on with Paul in the fellowship of the gospel. Okay, let's turn our Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. This is still the point on the cry of the missionaries for fellowship in the gospel with those back home. Chapter 4, verse 15. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all in abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Here we see Paul blessing the church here at Philippi for their giving spirit and attitude. Very much he even brings forth that no church communicated unto me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. If I'm correct. Yes, but ye only. This church was very much supporting Paul, upholding him in the fellowship of the gospel. They were giving. They were pouring forth from their hearts and from their lives, supporting Paul in his daily necessities. Paul says, I didn't desire a gift, but I desired fruit that may abound to your account. Again, the heart cry of the missionary is, I mean, He blesses those who give. Not that they desire to receive, but He realizes this means growth in the congregation. This means there's continued growth. This means there's continued a heartbeat for missions. A heartbeat for the work of God. That it can continue to be spread abroad. I like this. It says in verse 18, I have all, Paul says, I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to the Lord. So brother, sister, when you, like I said, the missionary, Paul blessed them for their giving attitude and spirit. But furthermore, when you are giving, when you're supporting with a missionary in his daily necessities, out of your pocketbook or whatever that may mean, says it's a sweet smell, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing unto the Lord. That's the kind of sacrifice that is being given as you are supporting your missionary. Those who are on the field, as you're giving to their necessities, as you're pouring forth, digging into your pocketbook or whatever that might mean. And it's not, like I said, it's not necessarily the heart cry of the missionary that you give, but it does bless him. Just like it did Paul here. Paul was blessed. Said even in Thessalonica, he sent once and again unto my necessity. Then I love it. Verse 19 says, Paul wraps it up by saying, but my God shall supply all your need. All your need. According to His riches and glory through Christ Jesus. And I know sometimes we might look at that verse and spiritualize it, and I'm sure we can. But here, Paul, it's in the context of giving. He says to that church at Philippi, my God, you are giving of yourself. You're giving to my necessities. You're giving of your heart. And furthermore, your monies and material goods, you're giving. And Paul, he realized that principle very clearly, that it is more blessed to give than to receive. And give and it shall be given unto you. And therefore, Paul said that promise, my God shall supply all your need, you church of Philippi. He'll supply all your need according to His riches and glory through Christ Jesus. And Paul blessed them. So let's remember, brothers and sisters, as we are at a place of supporting a missionary, his heart cry is that the church would remain, his sending body or the church that is supporting him would remain at a place of fellowshipping with him in the gospel. Fellowshipping with him in the gospel. Not leaving him forlorn and forsaken. And I know that's none of our heart. But you know, I remember before I went to Africa, I think it was maybe in our send-off service, I forget somewhat, but I remember hearing this story of a missionary, a couple who went on the field. They went, and years later, I think it was his wife died on the field, and he got broken down in health, and I'm not sure if it was emotionally what it was all about there anymore. But he came back home. And he went to the Wednesday night prayer meeting, a broken man in body and spirit, if I remember. And no prayers were being prayed for him. There was just the normal everyday, you know, Lord, give me, bless this brother and pray for this brother's health. But there was not prayers. There was no fellowship of the gospel. It wasn't there. It wasn't there. And there he was back home, broken in spirit and body. So brother, sister, let's remember the heart cry of the missionary. He's human just like you and I. He faces temptations. He faces things in life that are difficult and to work through. Sometimes we may look at a missionary and set him on kind of a pedestal, but no, they are made of the same flesh and blood as you and I. They face those temptations and they desire, most of all, they desire the church back home to be sound and in a place of health, spiritual vitality and health. But, like I said, it blesses them also when they receive gifts such as, when they know they're being supported with their physical needs likewise. Okay, lastly, the cry of the missionary is for prayer. Cry of the missionary is for prayer. You know, Paul's requests, almost all of Paul's requests for prayer were for himself. That were for himself were in relation to him sharing and spreading the gospel. It's basically all that Paul prayed for, asked for prayer for is, Lord, he mentioned it to the church at Ephesus, the church at Colossae. Let's turn to a few of these scriptures. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Let's go to verse 19. Paul says here, and for me, I'll start reading verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. That was Paul's request for prayer. His request for prayer is that I may make the gospel manifest as I ought. That when I need to speak boldly, that there would be the power to bring it forth in that manner. His heart was, pray for me, that I may make known the mystery of the gospel. I may speak it boldly as I ought to speak. The heart cry of the missionary is that we would pray for those who are on the field, laboring in the gospel. Their heart cry is for prayer from back home. They know they need prayer. They know they need that prayer base that is constantly upholding them and lifting up them up to the throne of grace. I love that. You know, just a side note, but the throne of grace. It's a throne of grace. And as we come boldly to that throne of grace for the missionary, grace is poured out upon them. And they realize this. And their heart cry goes forth, pray for me that I can make the gospel manifest as I ought to. Colossians basically brings out the same thing. Let's turn there quickly. Colossians chapter 4. Verse 2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of the gospel, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Again, this was his heart cry for the church there at Colossae. Pray for me, with all praying for me, that God would open doors of utterance, that I may make known the mystery of the gospel. That I may make it known. And again, make it manifest as I ought to speak. Furthermore, it says in verse 6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. And again, as we lift up, uphold our missionaries to the throne of grace, their words come out seasoned with salt. They have wisdom. Wisdom is given to them. They know they have ability and grace to minister to that Muslim man who is entrenched in his religion, who is at a place where he's staunch in his beliefs. But as we pray for our brother Tanner and others who are on the mission field, just giving an example, God pours out grace, that the words are seasoned with salt, that there's grace to make the mystery of the gospel known as it ought to be. This is what is poured out. And this is a heart cry of the missionary, is that there would be prayer back home for them. And again, this is fellowshipping that with them in the gospel. This is fellowshipping with them in the gospel. Let's turn yet one more point on this. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 8 through 12. You know, missionaries sometimes go through, like I shared before, they go through difficult times. They go through troublous times. At Charity there, we have numerous times. There's a deep need or an urgent situation. We'll enter into fasting and prayer for our missionary in support of him. But here Paul was going through a difficult time. It says in verse 8 of chapter 1 of 2 Corinthians, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Then it says, ye also helping together by prayer for us." There it is. Ye also helped. Paul was in some kind of despairing situation. He was in a place where, it says, he almost despaired of life. Paul kept trusting in the Lord, and the prayers of God's people began to lift him up, began to uphold him, began to minister to him, and he began to come forth from that difficult and despairing situation that he was in. As they prayed, God's people were helping, bearing him up on the wings of prayer. And that's the heart of God, that we would pray, that we would fast at times, enter into the heart cry of the missionaries that is for prayer. Let's be faithful, brother, sister. Let's be at a place of faithfulness on the call to pray for our missionary in his time of need, or just continuously lifting him up on the wings of prayer, that grace would be poured out as he ministers the gospel, as he spreads forth the word of life to those who he has been called forth to. And the work goes on. Okay, just quickly on this point yet. He also longs for news from back home. Proverbs says, "As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country." Good news from a far country is as cold water to a thirsty soul. I used to be a roofer. I know what it's like to be thirsty on a hot day. I know what it's like to... Feel refreshed, renewed in vitality to continue to work in the heat. And that's what the Bible says good news is good news from a far country. That's cold waters to a thirsty soul. It revives that spirit. You know, maybe he's going through a tough day and he receives an email or a letter. His spirit is revived. And he's able to keep on going. So let's remember that in support of our missionaries. Okay, in closing, the cry of the missionary is the cry of God. We've seen through Scripture that this is the very heart and cry of God. When the heart cry of God is heard, when he asked in Isaiah, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" Then said I, here am I, send me. That cry continues long after the missionary's response to the call. That heart cry going forth continues long after the missionary has been sent. His heart cry. His heart cry for the people that he's working with. His heart cry that God would send forth more laborers. His heart cry that God would keep the supporting church at a place of soundness, of faith, and fellowshipping with him in the gospel. And his heart cry for prayer from those who love him and who are back home supporting him. I'll close with this scripture. Let's turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 14 and 15. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring good tidings, bring glad tidings of good things. Our missionaries, the missionaries are at a place, are in a beautiful place. They're at a place of bringing forth the gospel of peace and bringing glad tidings of good things. Oh, how beautiful they are. Those who have been sent forth. Let us, as God's people, respond to their cry, to their heart cry. And I believe the cry of the missionary is a cry coming forth from the heart of God, of the living God. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Effort of Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Effort of Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.